B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Thunder Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Wow, we got some new imaging, Dan.
Yeah, I was like, wow, who's that?
Who's that guy talking? It is the DraftKings Over Under Show. Dan Lifschitz is here. I'm Joe Murray. Tuck Silva, he is stuck. He is here, still with us. He's shaking his head. Good morning, Dan. It's been a wild week in the NFL. We'll certainly get into everything. I am curious. I know that you had some thoughts on the NFL owners, and I did too. So we'll get to that in a little bit. Just an update on the whole like podcast thing. We've been doing two podcasts. And I think, Dan, I want to say it was for like 13, 14 weeks.
Yeah, we're doing NFL, college, week in, week out. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on right now, so we're a little busy.
Yeah, I hope people understand that doing those podcasts takes a lot of time. Like we work jobs during the day, and then we have to find time to basically dedicate 2 hours to do the podcast.
Yep.
Right now, there is no time. there's no time. Not even our lunch break we could fit in a podcast. So I think we can do one next week, Dan. It's the first week of the playoffs. I think we can do Wednesday or Thursday night, whatever night you want to do. We can do one of those nights and then have something done. But if for those who've been asking, because our podcast does do very well.
Very well.
The numbers, if you're into those statistics and all that stuff, they're very good. They're very good. And this show is very highly rated as well. So I will take the L on that one. I will take the L on the podcast. So for those, you guys don't do podcasts anymore. Hey, don't worry. We'll just go ramping back up at the moment. So, Dan, here we go again. No disclaimers. Like, we're not being insensitive about anything we talk about. Can we get that out of the way, Dan?
Yes, this is a gambling show. We talk about gambling. I understand people are not going to like the angles we take, but this is a gambling show, so we're not talking about anything else.
And what I mean by this is DeMar Hamlin, the incident that happened this week, I've tried to say this many times this week, there's no playbook for this. This is unprecedented. It's never happened. So don't crush anybody for their comment or whatever they did. This is something we've never seen before. We don't know how to handle this. Clearly, the league didn't know how to handle this. They have rules in place, and they didn't even use the rules in place. So don't get on us for anything we say. We're just talking about betting. I mean, last night, Dan, I had guys calling me about their fantasy football team, which, hey, now that things are looking good and the update on DeMar Hamlin is he is fully intact, intact is the word. He FaceTimed his team yesterday, and we'll get into the Bills and the Patriots game, but oof, that is going to be a wild scene there in Buffalo, and it's going to be really tough for the Patriots, but we'll certainly get into that. But it was tough because I think bets got returned, right? I thought it was cool that I saw some books returning some of the bets and donating them to DeMar Hamlin's charity. There were some books who did that this week, some individual people who did that this week. So no disclaimer. This was an interesting week. I have the Patriots under 8.5 wins, Dan. That thing's on the table, and I'm letting it ride, just so you know. There are ways to hedge it. If we want to talk about it later, we can.
I would, at this juncture with the knowledge we currently have, I would let it ride.
Yeah, let it ride means letting the bet go, for those who don't know. But yeah, so there's a lot of things. There's players that have incentives that may or may not play this week. There's a ton of things out there, so I'm curious to know where your edges are, Dan, this week. But I think the big story is that the league has collectively bargained rules if an event happens where teams can't play a game or something happens that might be an unfair advantage. Maybe one team played more games than the other. And what the rule book says is, go by winning percentage. That's what everyone agreed on.
Yep.
My big take last night was, if this was the Patriots during their heyday, Patriots fans would be pissed if they were the number one seed potentially and had to play a neutral site game.
100%. There's no question about it that in this market, people would be furious.
So I think Cincinnati has a gripe because they also have a coin toss situation for them.
I think Cincinnati is got screwed.
And again, no one's being insensitive of the Buffalo Bills situation. I think everybody is very sensitive. And I think this is why things changed. People are very sensitive about the situation. So the owners voted to have a neutral site game if somehow it is either any three combination of the Chiefs, Bengals, and Bills. It's not fair to the Chiefs. It's really not fair to anyone.
Assuming the Bills win tomorrow and or the Chiefs win tomorrow. So in order
today?
Tomorrow. Those games are tomorrow.
The Chiefs play today, though.
No. Assuming the Chiefs win, right? Assuming the Chiefs win today, tomorrow the Bills and Bengals must, either one of those teams must win for a neutral site game. If the Chiefs lose and the Bills win, then the game will be in Buffalo.
The AFC Championship game?
The AFC Championship
game. No. Any scenario where...
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. So... It is not any scenario. That is incorrect. Go back and look. So the way that it's working right now, which is, in my opinion, extremely frustrating. If the Chiefs lose Saturday and the Bills win Sunday, the Bills are the number one seed, so no neutral sites will come into play. Only team who can have a neutral site are the Chiefs and the Bengals, which is BS. It's just, that's what it is. There is no scenario in this thing that favors Kansas City. The only way it does is if Kansas City wins and then Buffalo loses and Cincinnati loses. Then the AFC Championship game will be in Kansas City. But the likelihood of that is very unlikely. That's the reality, is that you're not going to see those two teams lose. They're both big favorites in games where they both should win pretty easily. The Pats just struggle against the Bills. The Ravens are without Lamar Jackson. They're having Tyler Huntley there.
You know who's starting? It sounds like it's going to be Anthony Brown from BC in Oregon.
Against
Ravens.
Okay. Yeah. That was the other option. I know. But Huntley had practice a little bit. Either way, the reality is this. The games now matter for both teams. The situation, the league absolutely screwed Kansas City, the Patriots. They screwed Baltimore. They screwed the whole league for Buffalo. Now, I understand the situation Buffalo went through, and I understand it was horrible. But there were rules in place by the league to handle a situation like this. And I just don't understand why those rules were altered for this one specific situation. I think it's personally extremely unfair.
Well, I mean, when someone falls down on the field and can't move or you don't know what's going on, normally they just scoop them up, throw them in an ambulance, and the game continues. So I am fine with them canceling the game.
I am too.
I have no issue canceling the game or not playing the game.
I agree. I said my ruling would have been I would have called the game a tie. Or if both teams had agreed, or I would have canceled the games if the teams could not agree. So that would have been my ruling. I think both teams handled it well. I'm glad they didn't play. I understand the situation, and I understand the league not playing the game. I understand all those factors.
I also think that having a neutral site game benefits the NFL. I wonder who's going to make some money on this.
The Buffalo Bills. I sure absolutely do.
Yeah,
it benefits them. Call it how it is. It benefits the Buffalo Bills.
But if they were the number one seed, their advantage is playing in Buffalo at home.
Okay.
And they can't do that.
But the fact is, and I know that this is going to be an insensitive take, and I understand that, the Bills chose not to play. And again, I agree with them. I agree with them not playing. But the reality of the situation is, that is an extremely difficult game. They were losing the game against one of the most difficult opponents who had the football. Yes, anything could happen that game. The Bills could have gone on a 40-yard run. They could have lost by 40. Who knows? But But the fact is the game wasn't played. There are rules in place for the situation. So yes, I know it's difficult to discuss, and yes, I know that this is the unfair side of it, but the reality is that sports and life, sometimes things like this aren't fair. I just don't really understand. Tuck, I'd like to get your perspective on this too, because you're a fantasy guy. It obviously affected fantasy football, right?
Last night we had a family affair about the championship.
I'm still
dealing with my leagues right now. Like, we're going to manually do the week 18 points thing. We're going to allow everyone to play week 18 and do the manual points thing, which I think is silly, but we have to come up with some sort of fair, reasonable way to do it, right? So that's what we're doing. That's what we decided. But like my thing is, and I don't know how this benefits anyone but Buffalo. And if you look at the betting market, Buffalo went from plus 480 in some places to plus 350 to win the Super Bowl. The betting market agrees. Buffalo benefited. They're the only team who benefited, in my opinion. So it is what it is. Like, call it out. Buffalo benefits from this situation. The likelihood is, assuming they win their game, they either get to play in Buffalo or they don't play in Kansas City. Prior to these new rules, that would not have been the case. There's no getting around it.
So I'm trying to these are the three scenarios. You kind of mentioned them. Bills win or tie, Patriots and Chiefs win or tie would be scenario one. Kansas City would clinch the one. So Buffalo would clinch the two seed. If the Bills lose, Chiefs lose, Bengals lose, Kansas City would still be the one seed, Buffalo would be the two seed, Cincinnati would be the three seed.
Yes.
If the Bills lose, Chiefs lose, Bengals win, Chiefs would still be the one seed, Bengals would be the two seed, Buffalo would be the three seed.
Correct.
Any scenario that involves the Chiefs as the one seed facing the Bills or Bengals in the conference title game will be a neutral site. I think that's what I was trying to say.
Incorrect. If the Bills,
says this on CBS Sports, though.
Yeah, that's incorrect. I don't know where they got that. If the Chiefs win and the Bills and Bengals both lose, the game will be in Kansas City.
But they have to play the Bills or the Bengals.
No.
For a neutral site.
Right. But what I'm telling you is if the Chiefs win this week and tomorrow the Bills and Bengals both go out and lose, the game will be in Kansas City.
Other thing is that the Bengals will have a coin toss.
Yes. So here's the other thing.
With the Ravens, they could win their division and not get a home game.
So they have won the division.
That's what I'm saying. They've won their division and may not get a home game.
Yep, the division has been called. So now the division has been called and they may not get a home game. That's insane. No one benefits from this scenario except for the Buffalo Bills. And people are going to say, well, Kansas City is going to get the bye. Okay, fine. Normally, I would agree the bye could be a very valuable asset. When you face the New England Patriots, the Miami Dolphins without Tua or without Teddy Bridgewater, the Pittsburgh Steelers or the New York Jets, I guess it could technically be the Jaguars too, right? Whatever. Any of those teams. It's a walk in the freaking park for these guys. I'd say maybe the Jaguars aren't a walk in the park. They're playing a much higher football than maybe the level of the rest of those teams. But besides that, those teams, I mean, seriously, the Patriots? Anyone scared of the Patriots right now?
I thought the Patriots got boned, and I was trying to, like, get Patriots fans, like, you know, everyone thinks we're so negative about the Patriots all the time. I think they got boned a little bit here because
100% they did.
Because the Bills have something to play for.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. Here's the flip side of it. People, I think they got boned. But they also put themselves in the situation.
Oh,
so that's another story.
But technically you can say every single team got put themselves in the same situation by not winning one more game.
That's right.
So that excuse to me, well, they put themselves in the situation. That's a load of crap, and that's a cop-out. That's what that is.
Yeah.
It's a complete cop-out, and it's a load of crap because every single team, had they won this game, had they won that game, they wouldn't be in the situation. So to me, that's just a bunch of BS. I don't buy that excuse. I hate that stupid excuse from people. Will they put themselves in the situation?
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots win one game, and here's the other thing, though. If Miami wins, they're in. Real. I mean, there's some things that have to happen.
Well, no, the Pats have to lose.
The Pats have to lose. So there you go. But if they get in, just think of the problem that now arises. Patriots lose, they're out. Maybe.
No, the Patriots lose, they're out.
If the Patriots lose and Miami wins, Miami's in.
Correct.
Who will be Miami's quarterback in that situation?
It's going to be Skylar Thompson.
Now, here's the deal. What's up with Tua Tagovailoa? That's going to be an issue. So I'm telling you right now, Dan,
so
the NFL is going to have a problem if this thing happens.
The league won't let him play. I'm telling you right now, the league is
okay,
not
so either way, though, now the playoffs have a backup, a seventh-round pick, or Mike Glennon as the quarterback.
Yeah, 100%.
All because the Patriots are out.
Yep.
I mean, like, this is what I'm trying to bring to Patriots fans is like,
and because the Jets are now starting Joe Flacco and Mike White is out this week.
Yeah. And the line's gone down.
No, it's not.
I thought it would 5, right? So, and now it's 3?
No. This opened around 4. It opened Miami minus 4, went all the way down. The Jets were actually 2-point favorites.
For a little bit. There.
And now it's Miami minus 3, minus 3.5.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. 3. That's significant. I mean, that's a significant line move.
I bet the Jets plus 4, assuming. So I like
the Jets. I actually still like the Jets.
I do not. But Joe Flacco.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah. No.
Because both teams have lost out on however many in a row. Here's another funky scenario, and we'll get Tuck's thoughts too. But there is a scenario where, let's say, the Titans win tonight, which can happen. The Titans win tonight, Patriots lose, Dolphins lose, Steelers lose. That means that the Titans are in and the Jags are in.
Yep.
And then it gets wild.
Well, call it out. That's not going to happen.
That probably won't. And I think the Steelers are playing we could argue that, the best ball. I think Jaguars are playing the best ball.
I think the Jaguars are playing the Steelers.
This is going to be interesting. And here we are at the end of the year, like the season bets. I have the Pats 8.5, and I'm going to let it ride. But at the same time, like, I was worried about this. I thought the Bills would have nothing to play for. There is this other angle real quick. I think the Bills are going to show up and play. Like, they have to.
We'll talk about it.
But here's the deal. The Bills, though, really have kind of lost home field. Like, they've kind of lost it. What if they would rather choose their opponent by losing this week? So if they lose this week, right, they become the 3 seed, essentially.
Why would they do that?
That's what I'm thinking. But maybe they would if they won, right?
No, that's not happening.
Because that's what I'm saying. Like maybe they if they you know, like teams just set it up because they want to play a certain team. Patriots have done this many times at the end of the year.
Yeah, but the Patriots.
But like, what if they wanted to play the Ravens with a backup quarterback instead of, you know, winning?
But Lamar Jackson's gonna be back.
Oh, so he will be back for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay. They're definitely in the playoffs, right? The Ravens.
There is absolutely no reason for Buffalo to lose this game. None. They get the bottom seed in the AFC playoffs, and now if they win this game, they don't have to go on the road if they make the AFC Championship game. They play in a neutral site. So there is zero reason for Buffalo to lose this game. None. Zero. Like, there is no benefit for Buffalo losing this game now.
So, yeah, it's going to be tough for the Patriots. We'll recap this. We'll get our thoughts. We'll see if there's any edges. The college football playoff final, or the national championship, is also this week. I'm curious what the status of the running back for TCU is. DeAndre, what's his name there? Wondering if he's going to play.
I will have a play in this game. 2 plays in this game.
Yep, me too. All right, let's line them up. 617-779-0985. There's 2 games today.
Let's talk about everything. And I do want to get into some college basketball. We haven't talked a lot of college hoops, right? There's a lot big slate today. I have a bunch of plays. I'll give out a few, two or three maybe for college hoops. We'll start there. But yeah, look, there's a lot going on. Huge NFL slate. We got to get into it. Look, I'll be straight up honest with you guys. Like, it's now Saturday at 7:20 in the morning. Like, the value is pretty much gone. Most of the value on the board is gone. So now you're basically just trying to pick winners on what's left. You're not going to get closing line value. You're not going to get this great number. You're just going to have to take what you get.
And for those who say, please stop saying insensitive, just talk. We are.
Look,
we're in an era where we got to kind of like cut our asses.
Yeah, you know, what I mean? Like that's the reality. Is I'm sure there's already people listening who are already.
Upset, Dan Lipschitz said this. Yep. Joe Mara,
100% guaranteed.
I know. Yeah, whatever. We can't please everybody. All right, we'll take a break. You'll sing the 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show on the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. I need like a game, Dan, that there's a true edge. Because it's week 18. I think we have Skylar Thompson for Miami.
Yep.
At some point, Sam Howell is going to play for Washington.
Not at some point. He's starting.
Okay, he's starting now. Because that was, I don't know. Dude, I love Ron Rivera, but man, this isn't good. I don't know. They could be another coaching move there, and I actually think he's a good coach.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
Well, no, but the quarterback carousel between going back to Wentz and this, it's been not handled well.
I mean, yeah, but like...
Did he get the quarterbacks? Did he acquire the quarterbacks?
He was in Wentz. On Wentz. He said that he wanted to work with Wentz, to be fair.
All right. I don't think he's going anywhere, though.
I don't want him to go anywhere. I think he's a damn good coach. I think he's one of the best coaches in the league.
Yeah, I do, too.
I don't think he's going anywhere. Nowhere.
I need an edge. Like, here's one game I feel edgy on. Everyone loves the Green Bay Packers. What I mean by everyone loves is oh, they're back, and look at this defense. Da, da, da. I favor the Lions, Dan.
Well, if Seattle wins, they literally don't have anything to play for. And then you could be in a situation where Detroit doesn't
even show up at the end of the night. Here's why I find an edge with Detroit. I think their defense has been better. If you look at their last few opponents, they're very good opponents. Let me just pull it up because I had my stats on this one yesterday. But it's week 18, right? So we're all looking for some sort of edge. Well, what I looked at the Lions is their defense has been... under fire this year and bad. Like, at times, they've been really bad.
I mean, they gave up 37 to Carolina 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
On the road.
So, they held the Bills, Jaguars, and Vikings to 28, 14, and 23. You mentioned Carolina, of course. Now, two of those games were blowouts. The only loss was...
Those were all home games.
Yep. And against... and then on Thanksgiving, they lost at home.
And we've talked about how much better they are at home than they are on the road.
Absolutely. And Dan Campbell in general, it's hard to...
And the splits have been there.
But I think the Lions are, even though they're a dome team, right? I think they're built for cold weather games. Now, people will say, oh, look at Jared Goff's numbers. I agree. But their offensive line, I mean, like the Packers' defense is 27th in the league against the run. So all I'm trying to say is they're... Everyone is like, oh, the Packers are back, and here we go. And I watched these two play earlier this year. Like, I was on the wrong side of it. I just want to give the Lions a shot here at 4.5 this week. And you're right, Dan. We have to see what happens with some of these other games. That's the problem here. I don't want to take the Lions because I need to know what happens with Seattle.
Well,
you know.
So my thing is, if you're looking at this game, for me, if you're a Lions player, right, and you're waiting all day and you're watching these games and 4 o'clock game starts, you're intensely locked in on the Seattle game, right? You're getting ready, you're warming up, and all of a sudden Seattle wins that game. Don't you feel a massive letdown?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I just find it very hard to believe, in my opinion. I think this game, if Seattle wins, I think Green Bay closes around 7, 7.5. Because I think at that point, you'll see the motivational factor really start to kick in. You'll see some money come in on Green Bay because of the fact that Detroit won't have anything to play for. Now, knowing Dan Campbell, knowing the way he is, he's a football guy, you know, passionate, et cetera, I don't expect that to be the case. I expect Detroit to play everyone. I expect them to try and play football. But they're going to be paying, they're going to be scoreboard watching. And, the, you know, it's just human nature that when you no longer, when you're hoping for something, you no longer get it, there's a letdown situation. So I just, to me, and right now, you know, again, you're the numbers, the numbers right now, 58% of the bet on Detroit, okay? 71% of the money on, just spread, not money line, 71% of the money line bet on Green Bay. Again, and I don't want to, again, these numbers are at different numbers, could be four. I think the opener was 3.5 some places. Now I think we're at 5, obviously, but you know, so it doesn't really matter where, you know, where the number is. What I'm trying to say is there's no one not giving Detroit a chance. People, the public's on them. The majority of bettors are on them. Yeah. People like them to cover the number.
So is there a game, Dan, that you see an edge in week 18?
So, I mean, not your traditional edge. So look, a lot of my edges bet early in the week, right? So Denver +3, like that was a great number. I ended up getting, I think it got to a little bit 3.5, but most of you +3. Now they're -3, right?
Because the Chargers really don't have much to play for.
They ball, assuming Buffalo wins, or sorry, assuming Cincinnati wins, they'll be locked into that 5 seed. So that's going to be something that they don't really have a lot to play for. You're going to assume, and you kind of heard some rumors that they may not play Justin Herbert. Or they may play him for a quarter, they may play him for a half, et cetera, et cetera. So to me, that's a big one there. I still think, and Kirk Cousins is playing in this game versus Minnesota, and I know the numbers going the other way. I know Minnesota is going to be resting some of the starters second half. I don't care. Chicago is starting Nathan Peterman.
Ooh.
And look, Peterman is not one of these. He is not. It's not the same as starting Sam Howell. Howell is one of those guys you don't have a ton of tape on. He could come in. He could do some, you know, some crazy things. The guy likes to throw the ball deep. He's not a short ball thrower, right? So that's kind of like something on, you know, on Al. We haven't seen a lot of tape on him, obviously, in the NFL. Peterman's a guy you have tons of tape on. You know exactly what you're going to be getting with this guy. So I think that there is an edge, you know, on a, you know, potential teaser situation in Minnesota. Like, I just, even if they only play Cousins and everyone for a half, you're still... Yeah, I mean, still, it's freaking Nathan Peterman. Like, I don't trust Chicago with that team. I mean, without Justin Fields running the football for 100 yards, they're a disaster of an offense. They just are. That's the reality.
You know what's funny? The guy's been dealing with a bad shoulder. Could have broke the rushing record for a quarterback if he's sitting about.
I mean, it's the smart decision.
Should have set him
it's
out last
smart,
week.
No, it's a smart decision. Yeah. Be careful. So, look, when you say, okay, where is there an edge? I'll tell you the numbers. The market really has generally settled into what a lot of these numbers should be. Now, personally, I think there's still a little bit of an edge in certain situations. Like, personally, I like Kansas City. You know, everyone is in love with the Jared Stidham train now after 1 week of football. And so everyone is obsessed.
They forget the two picks in the second half, I guess. Huh?
I mean, to be fair, the overtime one wasn't his fault, right? Like, he got hit. It's like when we give Mac Jones a hard time for, like, or when people give Mac Jones a hard time. Why didn't he get the ball quicker? The guy was on him in half a second. What do you want him to do? Like, I had some dude who's like, he's obsessed with.
Oh, I thought he looked good. But he struggled in the second half. But I thought he looked good.
So I think, again, this is going to be today's game, 4:30. Give me the Chiefs -8 right now, eight and a half, wherever the heck it is. It doesn't matter. Give me 8. I'll take 8.5, actually, because I think that's probably with the general consensus. Give me the Chiefs -8.5 today.
So I like the Chiefs too, Dan. But, you know, if they're a team that in their last 10 games is 2-7-1 against the spread, I think we should throw anything that we've seen this year out the window in week 18.
I just don't care about prior spreads or any of that crap to me. To me, Kansas City today has a motivational reason to go out there and win the game.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. Throw it out the window. And the Chiefs are 0-4. I mean, their last four road games, you can put them all up against it. I just don't think the Chiefs are going to lose, trying to be the top seed. I just don't.
I don't either. I do expect the game. I like the over in that game, too.
And there could be a little quit factor in Vegas. Like, what's his name? Davante Adams this week said he wants to be part of who the next quarterback is.
I mean, look, you had your thing last week, right? You had your fun. You changed your quarterback. You got a little bit of a motivational factor there. Like, are you going to get that again? I don't know.
Tucker, I don't think we got your thoughts on everything happening in Week 18. Do you see anything out there that catches your eye?
The one thing that I was going to ask you guys, and it could be a quick answer, what is the status of the number one overall pick?
Houston, right?
Is it locked up?
Yeah, so it's a good one. So if Houston wins today and Chicago loses today because technically
tomorrow.
Because technically Houston has that tie, Chicago will have the number one pick.
So there are implications.
Yes. So there are implications for both these teams to want to lose. Motivational factor.
Houston has the tie, too, so I think that they'll probably get number one.
Because the Colts are 2.5-point favorites?
Other way around.
Because of the tie? Yes. Okay. Yes. So Chicago's not playing Fields?
No.
So I'm looking at Tankathon. They have the draft order. Houston, Chicago, Denver, because of the Seattle trade. Denver to Seattle. Seattle will get the third pick.
Right, but why would Denver want to lose for Seattle?
No, that's what I'm saying. Oh, okay. And then Arizona. So this would be the order as of right now, if we don't play with Houston, Chicago, Seattle, Arizona, Indianapolis, Detroit. Then Atlanta, Vegas. Vegas is 8.
So that's the thing is both the Houston and Indy teams both have legitimate reasons to lose this game. Now,
by the way, that point total is 37.5.
Slow.
In what? Houston? They're 38 now. Up.
Oh, they're up 30. Okay. Yeah, up. I mean, I'm just obviously the under screams. Hello.
I actually kind of like the over there. I think you're probably. I mean, if you're talking about quit, you're probably going to have defense quit, right?
I mean, look at the quarterbacks in that game, though. Sam Ellinger and Mills.
Yeah, Mills. Those
put up 3 points last week.
Yeah, lowest total on the board right now. 38.
That just screams like
Houston.
Garbage 12-3 or something like that.
Jets.
Actually, Jets-Dolphins went from 41 to 37 and a half.
Well, that's what happens when you have Skylar Thompson and Joe Flacco starting.
This broke like around maybe 4 o'clock yesterday because, I knew Mike White wasn't starting, but man, that line movement's kind of wild. So let's talk about that game. I think Teddy Bridgewater just last week, like, hey, they covered the spread. So that's all I care about. Skylar Thompson was an accurate quarterback that could move a little bit for Kansas State. He wasn't great. I think they're better off going with him over Mike Glennon. Definitely. There is this Miami thing that I have where it's like they've lost, 5 in a row. They can't get they couldn't even get the ball to Tyreek Hill in the second half last week. I'm just wondering if there is a tank here. The Jets have said this week that they want to try to go out on a win. Both teams have lost 4 and 5 in a row. I know Miami's a better home team. It is Joe Flacco in the end who might be toast. Probably. Now, Flacco's had one game, right, where he's gone off for 300 yards. I like the Jets' defense. I like what they do. I want to give them a shot. I do. But I know what we're dealing with here. So, I can't find an edge on it. Maybe you are on a side. If anything, I lean under.
Yeah, not at this number. To me, personally, Miami as a dog, Miami under 3 probably would have been a number that I liked. But Miami, other than that, I have no interest in.
And the Jets are out. Like, the Jets are out of the playoffs. They have no... This is just a pride game and try to beat a divisional opponent at the end of the year and keep them out of the playoffs. And that's what they said they wanted to play for. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, is Zach Wilson dressing, by the way?
Yes, he's going to be the backup.
Okay, so he is dressing.
So here's the thing, though, is all these teams say that, right? They all have to say, like, oh, we want to go out there with a win. You know what I mean? But, like, a lot of the teams don't really mean it. So that's kind of my thing is I don't really know how much we should be buying into that whole factor. Like, they're starting Joe Flacco. If they really wanted to go out there with a win and they wanted to try and win the ball game, wouldn't they start Zach Wilson? Like, wouldn't this be another situation where you'd put Zach Wilson back in and You'd want to see him do something. You know what I mean? You wouldn't start Joe Flacco. To me, Flacco is the easy, we don't really want to win this game, right? And that's how I'm thinking of it, at least.
All right, Dan, the college football playoff, we want to do the Patriots at the top of the hour. We'll certainly get into them. And I know you wanted to touch on some college basketball as well today, which will be ramping up. Do we have a guest today?
I don't know.
I don't know when we have Eli on again.
We'll take a look.
We'll have to dig into the bank. Well, we were talking to Eli Hershkovich, who big college basketball guy. By the way, is before we go to break, are you like in on college basketball right now? Is there something missing about maybe like a top recruits? Like at least last year, there was like Banchero and some other studs.
I think the lack of known talent is kind of killing it, and I also think the lack of a dominant team, or at least a couple dominant teams, also kind of killing it. Like, I think what New Mexico is the last undefeated team in the country, right? Or did they lose the other night? I can't remember. I think they lost to Fresno State. So yeah. So anyways, I mean, like, pretty much. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, to me, this is the college basketball season this year. Just really isn't that interesting.
Like Purdue is the number one team. You know, Houston's, UConn has been good. They've lost two now.
Yep.
But then it's your Arizona, Texas. I don't know what's going on with them.
Well, they just fired their coach.
See you later, big boy.
So, I mean, yeah, look, it's there's right now, it's college basketball is a little bit boring. That's the reality. Right now is college football was fantastic this year. College basketball right now, not so much. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, that's the reality. To me, college basketball isn't super interesting right now. I think Purdue is the only undefeated team in the country.
And 14-1 right now.
Yeah. Houston, Kansas, UConn, Arizona, Texas, they all have one loss. But, like, none of those teams feel dominant. None of those teams feel absolutely dominant right now. So we'll see.
I've tried to sit down and watch a few games.
Actually, did Purdue lose? I think Purdue lost too. Okay. I'm looking at last week's record. Yeah, they lost to Rutgers.
All good.
So there's no undefeated teams right now.
Yeah, it's at least there's some Saturday morning games. Notre Dame, North Carolina. How about Providence? Dan, 9-0 at home, 13-3. St. John's.
They just beat UConn.
Yeah, UConn today bouncing back versus Creighton, which is interesting. You got a little Nebraska, Big Ten later on today. How about Oklahoma State, Texas? By the way, Marcus Smart at the Oklahoma State game the other night. Him and a player in West Virginia.
Maybe he'll be there today, too.
Maybe. You're right, actually, because San Antonio, maybe. Who knows? Anyways. All right. We'll hit a break. Oh, you know what? Can we touch on the NBA MVP odds, too, at some point?
Sure.
I just feel like that thing's swinging all around now, too.
If you're going to ask me about Jason Tatum, the answer is no, it's a bad bet. Call that as simple as right now.
I'm wondering what the right bet is, though.
Okay.
We'll take a break. You're listening to 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz, DraftKings Over Under Show on 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Sports Hub. Now, more of the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show. Figure we'll hit on this national championship game. TCU, Georgia. Let's throw anything out in the college football playoff you've already seen. TCU can put up points. I think their defense is better than a lot of people think. My thoughts on Georgia, Dan, and I'm going to bring up what we talked about in our when we were talking about all the teams at the beginning of the college football season, I don't think this Georgia team is as good as last year. I mean, they had 11 guys drafted.
Yeah.
I think they snuck one out against Ohio State. And not for nothing, that timeout from Kirby Smart will go down as one of the biggest timeouts of all time.
Yep.
And I still think the ball was snapped before he called timeout, but that's a different story. I don't think Georgia's going to really look back. I mean, I think they're going to move forward here. Championship game. I'm not slighting TCU. Week after week, how many days did I say Max Duggan, Max Duggan, Max Duggan? I don't know how TCU is going to do against Georgia offensively. I think they can move the ball a little bit. It's the whole can TCU stop Georgia on offense kind of thing that I'm on. So the total has moved from 63. I see 62, 62 and a half at some places.
Still 63 most places.
All right, yeah, because I see. Well, there's a bunch of different books that have it, but
still 63 most places.
So it's 12.5. Was 13. It's 12.5. I think Georgia wins. I lean over, but it could be one of these dominant Georgia defense games. So I think the safe thing for me is I'm probably going to go Georgia to win plus the two touchdowns.
So,
minus the two touchdowns.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to be on Georgia too. So give me Georgia minus 12. Which is now the new number in the market. Georgia minus 12.
And that's the bell brought to you by thelions.com.
Yep. Yeah. So I agree. I'm on Georgia minus 12 as well. Look, TCU, great story, right? They've been like one of those teams that has been a lot of fun this year. We talked about it. Didn't think Michigan was that good. We talked about it last week.
I think we nailed the college football playoff.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. I thought there was a real chance Ohio State won.
I've been on a hot streak until I took the under in the Celtics game the other night. Which was, woof.
Yeah.
150 points. Woof.
So I like the under. I like the under in this game, too. I do. I think that the total's a little bit inflated from what we just saw in the last two games. So I like the under a little bit, but I do think that at the same time, this could also be one of those games where if TCU's offense clicks at any point in this game, then this game will go over. So I do definitely lean the under, but I'm passing on that. I like Georgia. I think they'll beat them by 14 going away pretty easily. I don't think this is going to be that competitive. That's my thing is I don't think this is going to be competitive. I think it's going to be 31-10. That's kind of my guess around there. Maybe 40-10. This is going to be a pretty. I think this is going to be an embarrassment. I think TCU gets their butts whooped. I think Georgia is just a class above TCU. I think TCU against against a team like Michigan, competitive. Michigan just. They just weren't that good this year. I know they beat Ohio State, but they just weren't that good. But I think a team like Georgia, they're the best team in the country. They've obviously, they made that statement against Ohio State. I think they're going to be by TCU going away.
So TCU averages 41 points a game. Georgia's defense is top five in the country. And this is the first time that a team could win back-to-back in the college football playoff era. I think Georgia's motivated for that. I do. So despite allowing 71 points over their last two games, like that's what Georgia's done, Dan. SEC Championship College Playoff, 71 points.
Yep.
Neutral site game. That's why I lean the over. I just think that these neutral site games, there's no real like competitive edge on home field or anything like that. And teams will just put up points. Like I wouldn't be surprised if, Michigan went up 21-3, and then all of a sudden here comes some backdoor touchdowns, and Georgia just keeps scoring. But especially in college football, SEC versus Big 12, it's the SEC all day. So I want TCU to make it interesting. I really do. I just think it's going to be a very tough day for them.
I know. I don't. I want Georgia to win this game going away.
No, wow. No. I hear you. I'm going to bet Georgia.
Yeah.
I'm going to bet Georgia.
Right, okay.
But I don't know what it is. I love Max Duggan. He was my favorite player this year. He was my favorite player in the league.
They've been a great story. They're great for college football. If they win this game, it would be awesome.
It'll be maybe one of it actually could be one of the biggest. I'll look it up spread-wise. But, I mean, two-touchdown dog? to win the national championship?
Yeah, I mean, it's,
I don't think there's been that big, right? Because everything's been Clemson or Alabama. Or,
I can't remember a spread this big in the national title game, no. Because usually it's Bama and or LSU, or it's been Clemson, Georgia, like, and they've all been pretty close spreads, you know, within 6 points, I'd say. So, yeah, I can't imagine that this is that there's anything even close to this. So, nope, this is definitely to me the number one thing.
All right, we got a caller on the line. Let's take a call. Let's talk to Eric in Reading. Hey, Eric.
What's up, boys? How you doing? I kind of chimed in late for the show. I don't know if you touched on the Titans game yet.
No, not really.
Yeah, well, you got Derrick Henry, owns Jacksonville, getting a third-string quarterback. So I think the public's going to be all over Jacksonville, but give me Jacksonville on a huge favorite. I'm going to go with the Titans plus 6.5 all day here. They took last week off to prepare for this game. I don't know, Vrabel in the points, historically good as a dog. What do you guys think?
So let's save it, Dan.
Sure.
Because your Trevor Lawrence take of him, he's played better.
Yeah, he's been good, but like,
he's played better.
Okay, great.
No. What I'm saying is this week it's the tight. We'll get into it.
Oh, yeah, no.
Let's break it down.
Totally fine.
We'll do the Patriots top of the hour. This is the biggest game of today. Well, besides the Chiefs and what happened to them. We got to find out where the Chiefs are going.
This is tied. Yeah, I think they're both pretty big games.
All right. We'll do that. And, of course, the phone number here, if you want to jump on, is 617-779-0985. I just don't want to slight the Jags in Houston and give them their time.
Well, they're the prime time game today. They're 8:15.
This hour of the Sports Hub brought to you by Valvoline. It's an oil change who wants to help prepare your car for all your road trips and offer completely contactless service with their 15-minute drive-through service. You don't even need to make an appointment. Visit getanoilchange.com for a coupon to save on your next oil change. We'll break down Patriots and Bills next. Also, the big divisional matchup between the Titans and the Jaguars, who are in the playoffs right now. They're in. What's going to happen with the Titans today? We'll find out. All that coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Zone.
The DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys will continue on the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're blowing money fast on the side. Catch up. I think I'm Big Meech. Larry Over.
All right, hour two, DraftKings Over-Under Show. Patriots and Bills, the line right now. And I know that this one's moved a little bit. Right now it's what do you see? Seven and a half.
So some places have seven, some places have 7.5. Circa had a 6.5 yesterday for a little while. I think they now have a 7.5. But yeah, there's still definitely sevens out there too.
Let's make a case for the Patriots.
Okay, case for the Patriots. It's a win or go home game, so there is a massive motivation.
Gerard Mayo called it a trash bag game.
Yeah, no, he's
meaning
right.
Meaning that if you lose, you grab your trash bag and clean out your locker.
100%.
Which I kind of liked.
He's not wrong. I think that this is a big one, right? Like in terms of that, there's obviously a motivational factor for the Patriots, so you don't really have to concern.
They're 1-4 in the last five meetings, the Patriots. Their one win was that wind game.
Yep. Yeah, definitely that snow game, you mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a snow and wind game. Anyways, I don't think the Patriots win this game. I'll be flat out honest.
You know they're going to put Hamlin on the big screen at some point, and the place is going to go crazy.
So my thing is, like, it's hard for me to make a case for the Patriots, and I know everyone's going to be on the Bills, right? I know everyone's going
to
be.
Well, that's kind of the thing. Like, still a divisional game. The Patriots have everything to play for. Let's face it. People don't want to admit this, but Mac Jones has played better. He's not turning the football over. Yep. That's what you want from him.
Last eight games.
He actually threw two touchdowns last week.
Yeah. Look, he's been better.
Like, the offense has been better.
Yep.
Get off to slow starts. That's the biggest problem.
They have been better. Like, there is no... If you're arguing that Mac Jones is the problem still, like, then you... I mean, seriously, you gotta wake up. Like, you gotta step away from whatever insane thing you're watching. You got to be honest with yourself.
Here's another truth, though. They really haven't beat a quality quarterback.
I also agree, 100%. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They haven't beat a single quality
But,
here's my caveat. Should you beat Joe Burrow? If Ramondre Stevenson doesn't fumble the ball going into the end zone, do you beat Joe Burrow? Okay, so... There's my caveat there. Do you beat Aaron Rodgers?
I think you lost because of the coaching decision.
You're pretty close to beating Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Like, there have been situations, the Vikings game, you know, you got a touchdown taken off the board with the Henry thing. Like, there have been situations where you just kind of got screwed in some of these games. That's the reality. The Raiders game, I don't know if you consider Derek Carr a quality quarterback. I think some people do, some people don't, but like Carr to me is a guy.
Yeah, and Cousins, they could have beat, they didn't.
They got screwed on the
Hunter Henry play.
But I'm just talking about in Vegas.
Oh, like, Vegas. Oh, yeah.
That clearly was not a touchdown. Everyone thinks that was a touchdown.
I mean, the Patriots have hired a rocket scientist and a defensive coordinator as their offensive coordinator, and they're almost in the playoffs.
Yep.
So, like, if you want to look at the Patriots in many different ways, they can almost still go to a playoff with anybody as their offensive coordinator.
And hopefully Matt Patricia is gone next year. But the reality of the situation is this. 7 points in a game where you have... So here's my question. The Bills, right? Are they motivated to play? Are they still thinking about what happened last week? There are a lot of motivational human questions coming off that game, not to mention it's a short week. It's been super emotional, right? Like, this is just not a situation I normally back Buffalo.
Can I give you a scenario? And it's crossing sports, so it's okay if you want to disagree with my take. But Do you remember when the marathon bombing happened? The Bruins played Rene Rancourt. Like, the crowd sang the national anthem like they were into it. It was a real, like, motivation. You know, everyone was hot. I mean, it was really, like, emotional.
Yeah.
They lost. Maybe there was a little bit of an emotional effect to the game.
Yeah.
Can that happen with Buffalo? Like, I mean, McDermott is a guy that you've, in the past, have had.
I've definitely been critical.
Critical.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how the team is going to react, and that's my big concern.
How about the Hamlin loss on the field? They don't have Micah Hyde. He was their backup. They don't have really another safety.
So I don't think the Hamlin loss is going to be a major loss on the field.
Okay.
I think that he's more of a motivational, try-hard player. So, like,
that's
you
true.
Know, he's from more Pitt, of yep. Yeah, he's more of a guy, like, you go out there and he's going to give you his all every play. So to me, like, that, you know, from a talent perspective, I don't think the drop off is going to be enormous at all. But I do think that, like, look, it's so hard to predict how these guys are going to come out and feel Sunday. Like, there's going to be so much motive. There's going to be so much energy pregame. And to me, this is a game where I'm just not betting it because I think it's really difficult. Here's what I would do. If you want to bet it in some capacity, Buffalo money line to me is probably going to be the way that I would go, Joe. Like, I bet some Buffalo money line here and there. Whatever. That'd probably be the way that I would go. Because I don't see Buffalo losing this game, right? Yeah. For a multitude of reasons. And second off, like, I just think that, like, I don't know if the NFL is going to let them lose this game. That's the other thing.
So I'm going under. Ring the bell. Brought to you by thelines.com. Ring a ring a ring a ring a ding ding ding. Here's why, Dan, and I'll give you a few.
Well, hold on. Under what number? 43.5.
43.5, yep.
Okay. I got to make sure you get the number in there.
The the Bills versus the AFC East. This will be the sixth game. 4-1 under. I've looked up the last third, so I'm going back a little bit. This one helps my argument, but they're 9-4 the last 13 games for the under the Bills. I think it's going to be Damian Harris has run well against Buffalo in the past. So I think that this is going to be one of those games where the Patriots try to hang on to the ball a little bit. I'm going under. I'm just that's what I have. If I lose, I'll take my L. But I know the Patriots game went over last week, and maybe it was that garbage, you know, backdoor touchdown or whatever that put it over. But going under, I think it's going to be somewhat of a competitive game early on, emotional, and the Bills make a play to kind of run away with it. And the Patriots will have to try to battle back, which they've struggled doing all year long, yep, coming back. And that's why I think there'll be less points for the Patriots. So I'm going under 43.5. I'm just basing it off of the Patriots and the Bills over a 13 game sample that the trend has generally gone under, because I really don't have an edge in this one at all.
Yeah.
I think Buffalo will probably win the game. And I know everyone wants to say Buffalo by 100. I have one more thing to say about this. Dan Tucker, I don't know if you guys can remember a game more important for the New England Patriots in the regular season. They win this week. This might be one of the... Now listen, they've had some games where we never thought they would win. Like the Rams Super Bowl was... Now we know it's 2002 at that point. This might be one of... If they win this game, this might be one of their biggest regular season wins in I don't know how long. So, and Dan, they could have beat Buffalo last year and would have clinched the division. So what all I'm trying to say is this is a huge game for the Patriots.
Yeah,
think of a game.
I mean,
they could have won, a lot, and it's this important. Like, I can't remember one.
There's a lot on the line for them to win, but like, are we taking them seriously as a contender?
No. Throw that out the window. Has there been an important regular season game for the Patriots that you could remember made an impact?
I mean, there were definitely a bunch.
Like the Bucs game, I know Tom Brady came back and it came down to a field goal at the end, and they lost. So, like, that was a big game. And I know that last year they could have beat Buffalo, but Buffalo blew them out of the water, and they would have clinched. So, I'm just trying to remember a game. Like, if the Patriots win this week, I will be absolutely shocked.
Maybe you think it's a little bit more... maybe you just think it's a little bit more important than I do. I don't think it's an important game.
Yeah, and this has nothing to do with what they'll do after or anything.
I think it's an important game for them in the building, right? Like, I think you could see some big shifts. Like, you could see...
Changes are coming no matter what happens in this game.
If the Pats make the playoffs, I guess you can make an argument we made the playoffs, right? So I do think that it is a big game from that standpoint.
But Dan,
just as for the actual franchise, I don't think it means anything.
Okay.
Like, they're not winning anything.
That's fine. I don't think that matters. Yeah. I just am saying that I can't remember a game in the regular season that literally could change their season. Like, actually change.
Well, that's because they were so good for 20 years.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This is the Patriots are going into one of the most hostile environments, unknown, uncharted territory in Buffalo, a place that, yes, they did get a win last year, but that a team that has literally destroyed them. Dan, this is hyperbole, but I swear to God they've been down 100-10 in the last five games against this team. I will get you the exact number, but they have absolutely dominated them. And here they are now in one of the biggest situations, in a win or go home situation. I just can't remember the Patriots being in this in the regular season. You know, I know they've had to win. There was a game against Miami years ago where if they won it, they could have had home field. They didn't, and they lost in the AFC Championship game. This is a huge, huge, huge game if you really want to look at the Patriots in the long run. I know in the end, if they win this week, they probably lose again next week anyways. I know that. And to be honest with you, the best case scenario for the Patriots is to win and get the Bengals, right? Because you don't want to play Buffalo again.
Yeah, I'll be perfectly honest with you. Like, I don't think it's as big. I mean, it is a big game, but it's not as big as maybe we think it is. I don't know. I understand your point. Like, I understand where you're coming from in regards to it's a big game because it's a win and in game. But, like, I just don't take this team seriously.
That's fine. All right. I guess that I'm trying to make that case that this is one of the biggest regular season games in this run.
I understand what you're saying, Joe, but I kind of lean more towards Dan's feelings. Like, yeah, yeah. It just doesn't feel.
Yeah.
Listen, we can all sit here
like
and say
it's a big game.
Yeah.
The feels are not there.
There's no feel. That's what I'm trying to say is like, hey, guys, like, I know that we all have this feeling about the Patriots. This is kind of a huge game. Like, this is a big game for Bill. I guess. Hey, hello.
Is that you? What's going on? It's Dan's computer.
Yeah. Oh, whatever.
Why is your ringer on?
I don't know. Dude, I have no doubt. I'll try and turn it off.
It's a big game! It's a big game!
Okay.
But we all feel like they're going to lose.
I mean, but here's the thing. If it was a big game, it would feel like a big game.
It does not.
It does not feel like a big game. That's kind of my thing. So it's like, yeah, technically it's a win and you're in game, but like it doesn't feel that way, so I don't know how big of a game it actually is. Like, there are some other games that have been like week 15, week 16, like, we need to win this game if we want the number one seed, and those games felt bigger than this game. That's the reality.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the reality.
I'm feeling you on that.
Okay, yeah, that's the reality. So, or a primetime game versus Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning, like, those games felt much bigger than this game did.
All right, I get some people saying, hey, Joe, you're right about that game against the Bruins. They lost to Buffalo in that game, which I think they were probably the better team at that time. I'm trying to find another example of something, adversity, something like that. Someone's telling me 2019 versus the Bills late in the season. Yes, that was the game that Devin McCourty had an interception on Josh Allen in the end zone. That was the one where... That's when Belichick on a Monday Night Football the next year said, Josh Allen, not a good guy. And since then, they've destroyed them.
Yep.
All right. Well, then, fine. There have been bigger games. Okay. And I know who's on that 2019 Patriots name. His name was Tom Brady. Your thoughts on the Bucs, Dan? We'll talk about that coming up next. Phone number 617-779-0985. You're listening to the Sports Hub.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You blow money fast on the side. Catch up. I think I'm Big Meech. Larry Hoover.
All right, hour two, DraftKings Over-Under Show. Patriots and Bills, the line right now. And I know that this one's moved a little bit. Right now it's what do you see?
Seven and a half. So some places have seven, some places have seven and a half. Circa had a 6.5 yesterday for a little while. I think they now have a 7.5. But yeah, there's still definitely sevens out there too.
Let's make a case for the Patriots.
Okay, case for the Patriots.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.